are taken from Iris Dement's Let the Mystery Be. Some say, once you're gone forever. And some say, you're going to come back. Some say, you rest in the arms of the Savior if in sinful ways you lack. Some say that they're coming back in a garden, a bunch of carrots and little sweet peas. I think I'll just let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're going to go when the whole thing is done. But no one knows for certain, and so it's all the same to me. I think I'll just let the mystery be. And from Kathleen McTeague, may the light around us guide our footsteps and hold us fast to the best and most righteous that we seek. May the darkness around us nurture our dreams and give us rest so that we may give ourselves to the work of our world. Let us seek to remember the wholeness of our lives, the weaving of light and shadow in this great and astonishing dance in which we move. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourselves to the people around you this morning.
We gather this hour as a people of faith, with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, in celebration of the life we share together. Welcome. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Paul Tim, and I'm a high school senior. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, whether they are on life's journey and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in the social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to all of our visitors, friends, and members joining in. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all of your electronics. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
Morning. We have this wonderful opportunity today to celebrate our high school seniors. We are so pleased that they have all taken part in our senior transition program this past year. It's an optional, independent program that culminates in today's service. Whenever we go through a life transition, it's important that we take stock of who we are, what we believe, what is important to us, and what direction to go. That's what this transition program strives to accomplish. The seniors are encouraged to participate in a variety of activities to help them answer these questions. Engage in spiritual practices, do social action, provide service to our church, meet with our minister, choose and meet with an adult member of our congregation as their mentor throughout the year, and then write a faith statement. Who are these seniors? A group of seniors are an interesting group. Ellen Tyler and Samantha Nelson-Zurzo are the first two seniors to have entered the doors of this church as babies and have gone through our entire religious education program. It's been my pleasure to be a part of their lives for the past 17 or so years. They are living proof that we must be doing something right here at church. And they, along with Mona Cicero, who's been with us for over 7 years, will leave their parents as empty nesters when they head off to college. Don't worry, many of us here are already empty nesters, and we'll take good care of your folks. Paul Tim has spent more than half his life in this church, and he and Isabella Fitzpatrick, who's been here for about 3 years, will be the first in their families to graduate. We've got your folks handled as well. Logan Wickman has been coming to church since he was maybe about 5 and is the second out of 3 children in his family to graduate. And Logan, we got your folks handled too. These seniors are part of the millennial generation and were born into the world of rapidly changing technology. They grew up with computers, with cell phones, with the WWW. Digitally interacting with their environment, natural to them. They do things we couldn't have even imagined doing when my generation was their age. They tweet on Twitter, they post, they text, they email, they Instagram, they Snapshot and Snapchat and update and take selfies and put on hashtags. They are connected to their peers and families through social media. Unlike other generations who rejected and disassociated from their parents, this generation actually likes their parents. Well, for the most part. And looks to them for advice and information. Well, for the most part. This group is part of the most tolerant generation relative to immigration, to race, and homosexuality. They have very little notion of us versus them on a global scale. There's no Great Wall. There's no Cold War. With travel and study abroad so prevalent, the world has become smaller. This generation is on the move. Right off the bat, I know that Sammy is in Paraguay, which is why she's not here today and why she shared with us at an earlier service. Ellen plans to go to China this summer to visit her brother. Mona plans to live in a French house next year. Logan has been to Spain. Paul has been to Costa Rica. Izzy's been to France. This group cares about our world. They have given their time and energy to service projects in Appalachia and New Orleans, and they've helped at the local level, including at repairs of the breach and serving meals here at St. Ben's. The seniors and their mentors have gotten to know each other while doing various things this year. Heard they've talked in coffee shops, they've gone hiking, Christmas shopping, they went to art shows and plays. They even did service here at church, and thanks to Logan and Paul Fackler for digging the fire pit in our backyard here at church. This group of seniors have a wonderful character traits. Paul Timms' extreme self-determination, passion, and dedication to running and cross-country skiing is humbling even to his mentor, Chris Pesky, who is himself a runner and skier. You brought your running shoes and the Berkey. What do you call that? Racing bib. Yeah, your first year at the Berkey. Kim Sewer describes Mona as having a great old soul and a relaxed way of seeing the world without judgment. At times, Kim felt as though she was the one being mentored. Greg Sandin describes Izzy as having a great sense of humor and someone who not only knows what she wants, but has the determination and focus to reach her goals. Tracy Tim has been impressed with how Ellen is not worried about having to define herself, but instead is really enjoying life's journey. Logan Wickman's sense of humor and love for and ability to connect with children will serve him and everyone well. We have asked these seniors to share their faith statements with us today. Being active in their high school religious education classes, they've become very comfortable asking and exploring answers to questions, and they know that some questions cannot be easily answered, if answered at all, and that answers can change. They've learned what it means to take on a responsible truth, search for truth and meaning. I've heard how challenging the faith statement can be to write and share with us, but in the end, I've also heard what a great experience it was to have written this and shared it with us. Listen carefully as they share their thoughts with us. They're always insightful and inspiring. And Ellen, Logan, Mona, Paul, and Izzy, I just want to thank you again for having the willingness and courage to share yourself with us today. I want you to know that we consider this quite a gift to us.
Thank you. Ways we care for the wider community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items which we donate each month. If you have food items to share, you please bring them forward at this point in the service or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story.
I brought someone here today to help me with this story. Does anyone know who he is? Yeah, Charmander from Pokemon. I got him when I was 3 years old for Christmas from one of my grandparents. And I loved him when I got him, and I still love him now. Today, I'm going to read a story called Love You Forever by Robert Munsch and Sheila McGraw. Has anyone heard this before? It's a great book. When I was little, I used to ask my mom to read it all the time. It's a story about how things change and how people grow up and even grow old. But how love stays the same, just how I still love my Charmander. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The baby grew up. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old, and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator, and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes, his mother would say, "This kid is driving me crazy." But at night time, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old. And he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. And when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes, his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at night time, when he was asleep, The mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, maybe you'll be." The boy grew, and he grew, and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager, and he had strange friends, and he wore strange clothes, and he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at night time, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." That teenager grew. He grew, and he grew, and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left the house and got a house across the street, across the town. But sometimes, on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of his bed. If that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. One day, she called up her son and said, "You'd better come see me, because I am very old and sick." So her son came to see her. When he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always." But she couldn't finish, because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother, he picked her up, and rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang the song, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be." When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." Thanks for listening.
Let there be an offering to sustain and strengthen this place, which is sacred to so many of us, a community of memory and of hope, for we are now the keepers of the dreams. The morning offering will now be given and received. Thank you. thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Good morning. Is this working? I'm Sheila, and I'm very joyful today that my two sisters are with me. My sister Patty Larkin and Kathleen Larkin Hickey. So it's really nice to have you with me.
This is Chris. Would you light a candle of concern for my friend Sally? She was injured badly in that car accident down in Genesee on Wednesday morning. And oddly enough, it was two WCTC CNA students who were killed, and she's a WCTC instructor. So, thoughts for her.
Hi, this is Carrie. I'd like to light a candle of joy for our minister Amy's birthday on Monday.
My name is Phil. I'd like you to light a candle of joy for yourself and the other high school seniors in this transition. And I just want to say it's been a wonderful honor to be your teacher for many years. And just a wonderful experience.
Hey, this is Sonia, and I just wanted to light a candle of joy for senior transitions, of course, Logan. In it, but also because my mom and dad were both able to come with their respective spouses, Dan and Cindy, and a candle concern for my mother-in-law, who also planned to be here with my father-in-law, Scott, and was not able to because she was ill this morning. Thank you.
Light a candle of joy. Maya turned 16 this week, and we'll soon be taking her driver's test. That may be a concern as well.
Hi, this is Dan. Just a quick update on Isaac. He actually is going to come home today, this afternoon, so a candle of joy that Children's Hospital is amazing, and they got him through his ailments.
Light a candle of joy. I will this week have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. They both have birthdays this week.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'd like to light a candle of joy for all the seniors today and for my daughter Mona for her ability to overcome obstacles and face challenges in her life, and also for her mentor Kim Sewer, who's been a real wonderful influence on her and her development as a person.
And we light the last candle for those joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named here today. Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
There's a scene in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the second book in the series, in which a phoenix bursts into flame. Harry Potter panics momentarily, but is reassured by the calm words of his headmaster, Albus Dumbledore. Phoenixes burst into flame when it is time for them to die, and are reborn from the ashes. As we move closer and closer to the end of the school year, change is rolling in. Soon, I will move away from home, begin my college education, and start finding my way through life on my own. A huge era of my life is drawing to a close, never to be found again. And from the ashes of my childhood sprouts the seeds of my future. The cyclical nature of life forms the basis of my spirituality. Indeed, without the certainty of beginnings and endings, one could argue that I believe in very little at all. In order to have faith, I needed proof. If I couldn't see it, hear it, or explain it, I decided that it just wasn't for me. As I grew older, however, I started to doubt myself. What if I was wrong? What if I was ignoring proof simply because I didn't want to believe? I began to have a crisis of faith, or lack thereof, and it was a big one. I still haven't decided on a definitive truth. Nevertheless, life went on. As I grappled with higher powers and religion and morality and things that I will never really be able to explain, the world kept turning and the sun kept shining, and I kept breathing, and I learned that there is something that I do believe in. The world never ends. Things do, of course, moments in life, opportunities, emotions. People end, but there is always something after. Something will continue. It may not be me, it may not be what I know, but there will be something. Life as we know it can change irrevocably, but the universe is still there. There is a certain security in that knowledge. No matter how badly I screw up, I can't ruin everything. This is, of course, a fairly pessimistic attitude to take towards these endings. As they say, when one door closes, another one opens. The new door might look nothing like the old one, and it may even look like a window. It could open up on a windy tornado or a sunny park, a hot desert or a beautiful ocean, but whatever the view, that door is new and exciting, and without that change, you must admit that life would be terribly boring. The end of the world only creates a new one. My old life is passing on, and a new one is appearing in its place. This I can always hold true. All will end. And like the phoenix, all will begin again. When it does, you'll find me at UW-Madison, where I'll be majoring in international studies and foreign language. And I am eternally grateful to my mentor, Kim Sewer, for accompanying me to this pivotal moment in my life. Thank you.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Logan. And those of you who do know me, I know that getting up in front of a group of people and speaking, especially about myself, is just about the last thing I would ever want to do. After senior transitions last year, I looked at my mom and said, I'm not doing that. She said, I didn't have to, but she seemed to really want me to do. I did like the faith statements, that they didn't have to be too serious, and that they even could be kind of funny. So after a while, I gave in, and here I am. I may utterly despise public speaking, but I do like being here. I started coming to LCUUC when I was 5 years old, back when we rented space in Wales. In the beginning, I felt forced to come. As I got older, I started to appreciate that I and my beliefs were truly accepted here. And I started to enjoy the weekly visits. I got to know many people with a lot of different beliefs, This opened my mind and up and kept me from being too influenced by what other people believed. And it gave me an opportunity to think about what I believe. Is there a God? I don't know. I don't think so, but there could be. Personally, I believe in science. I would like to know that something could be proven before I truly believe in it. But I also know that things which can't be proven may exist or may have existed before. I do believe in the UU purposes and principles, even though I had to look them up to write this. To me, they seem very familiar to the wise words of the great Yoda from Star Wars. I think that if Yoda had written our purposes and principles, they would read something like this. And in this, I believe, principle one. To answer power with power, the Jedi way, this is not. Principle two. A Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack. Principle three. Many of the truths that we cling to depend on our point of view. Principle four. Difficult to see, always in motion, is the future. Principle five. A Jedi's strength flows from the Force, but beware the dark side. Anger, fear, aggression, the dark side of the Force are they. For fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. Principle six. Wars not make one great. Principle seven. My ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we. Although I can't tell you exactly what I believe in yet, I do believe that Yoda and this church community have given me the tools I need to continue to develop my beliefs. And for what I want to thank And for that, I want to thank everyone at LCUUC. For those who have introduced me to new ideas, fed my love of learning, given me a place where I felt comfortable being myself, and helped me get out into the world to experience things like feeding the homeless, cleaning up local parks and trails, building houses in Kentucky, and helping people rebuild from Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Service projects like these, working with people I enjoy being around, have taught me how rewarding it can be to help others, even if it's only by weeding their lawn. I especially want to thank my mentor, Paul Fackler, for helping me think about what I believe and for putting me in charge of digging a fire pit last fall. And for finishing it with Will Essie when I had to go to work. We had big plans to build a swing set around the fire pit, too, but we never started that. Maybe you can get to that next year, Paul. While Paul is doing that, I will be going to UW-Platteville, trying to become a forensic investigator. Wait, let me think. What would Yoda say? Yes. He would say, do or do not. There is no try. So let me rephrase that. Next year, I will go to UW-Platteville to become a forensic investigator. You can be sure that I will take much of what I have learned here with me, such as the use of logical investigation, but I will also keep an open mind and follow the wise teachings of Yoda, who said, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. Unlearn what you have learned, and impossible to see the future is. I hope to be back when I'm in college. Until then, may the Force be with you.
Hi, Missy. And my original plan for this speech was to use my YouthCon bridging speech, which is basically a transition speech, but for the YouthCon program. But anyone who was there can tell you that that was literally a disaster. I will spare you the horrific details. For this, I had to start from scratch, but unfortunately, it took me a very long time to write this speech, mostly because I had never really thought too deeply about many of these subjects, and everything I wrote seemed wildly inaccurate. I started by trying to organize beliefs, my beliefs. I had three columns, what I know for sure, what I don't know, and no opinion. Unfortunately, after about 30 minutes of organizing, everything had been crossed off and moved to the no opinion column, so that was a total bust. After this particularly unsuccessful bout of introspection, I started to panic. Panicking about my beliefs made me start to panic about my future, and then it was 11:30 p.m. and my what I know for sure column was still empty. All I could think was, shoot, I've literally had all year to write about this and think about this. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be writing about. How could I be so dumb? Halton wrote his speech in 40 minutes. Around 11:45, I finally started to pull myself together. I ate a lot of Chinese food and ended up Googling transition speech ideas, but to no avail. Eventually, I thought about my time here at LCUC. I started in 7th or 8th grade and only went because my mother told me that it was non-negotiable. But it did grow on me just a little. I've always really, really appreciated our 7 principles, even though I have not yet memorized them. Thank you to whoever painted them on the ceiling. My personal favorite is the right to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, mostly because I'm very stubborn and thick and I don't like being told what to do. Also, it gave me a free pass to essentially not search for truth and meaning at all. But last night, after all that Chinese food and procrastination, I realized that I had overlooked something extremely important in that principle, the word responsible. The reason that this speech was so hard for me to write was because I've never actually embarked on a search for truth and meaning. Luckily, this is just my transition speech. But as it turns out, I can't just sit in a corner and build my life there. As uncomfortable as it makes me, I have to travel and venture out. I can't wait for everything to come to me. While everyone else is giving updates on their search for truth and meaning, I'm happy to report that I will actually start mine. Don't get me wrong, I'm a very opinionated person, but a lot of times I'm not too sure what I'm opinionated about. Usually I'm very opinionated about not having an opinion. Anyway, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who's helped me get ready to start my journey. Thank you to my classmates, you're all very great. Thank you to everyone in the congregation for listening and laughing when you were supposed to. Thank you to my parents who provided me with every ounce of love that I could ever ask for. Love you. And finally, thank you to Greg Sandin, my mentor, who's in Utah right now, but did a pretty good job being a first-time mentor. Next year, I am very excited that I will attend the Illinois Institute of Technology on the south side of Chicago and study architecture and be very poor. I know that my search for truth and meaning will probably never end. My beliefs will always be changing. Thank you to LCUC for providing me with a blank slate so I can make my own beliefs and principles and not have anyone tell me what to do.
Thank you. Would you please stand up as you're willing and able and join us in singing hymn number 118, This Little Light of Mine, one of the seniors' favorite hymns.
Thank you.
As I complete my religious education here at LCUC, I can say with full confidence that Unitarian Universalism is the religion with which I most strongly align. I align with UUism because it allows one to be scientifically minded while still providing a moral compass and a sense of community. UUism allows one to be scientifically minded. Though some members may choose to believe in a supernatural entity, others are free to have their beliefs be evidence-based. For me, figures like Santa and the Easter Bunny quickly lost their footing when they could not be logically explained. As I grew older and learned the beliefs of my friends and classmates, I doubted the stories that did not follow the laws of physics as they apply today. How could they believe that Jesus divided one loaf of bread for 100 people when that obviously does not comply with the law of conservation of mass and energy? Even without compelling our beliefs, UUism provides us with a moral compass. I like the guidance provided by the seven principles. I love the fact that UUism provides me with a set of ideals to live up to, as opposed to offering me a set of laws that have repercussions for breaking them. The principle that I have always identified with the most is to respect the interconnected web of life. Environmental conservation is very important to me, and it is often overlooked by other religions. Though I can't say I've placed my faith in any deity or god, LCUC has still offered me a sense of community. I have enjoyed the religious education, the special events like retreats and the overs and unders soccer games, and the camaraderie of our church ski group. I remember that before the start of my freshman year, we had a camp out at the Gorales farm where we spent the day tubing down a river, bonding with the older kids and other teachers. There was splashing, flipping, and a fiasco with tubes being left on the side of the river. That's an example of a time when the members of LUCC went out of their way to make me feel a part of the community. I have gotten to know a lot of great people, including my classmates, teachers, and my mentor, Chris Pesky. I would like to thank all my RE teachers and my mentor, Chris, for offering me their most prized possession, their time. As I move forward from here, I will be attending St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota, where I'll be running cross country and track and studying geology. I will also be trying to balance my drive for success with a spirit of contentment. Thank you.
I'm not afraid to be crazy. To me, there's no other way to live. I've never been calm enough to be a Buddhist. I can't peacefully accept life with a knowing smile. I'm more of a deep-sea diver, a mountain climber, a loud screamer, a skydiver, a wild dancer. I'm determined to make change and live fully. So what does the future hold for me? Not a career. I will be doing tons of different jobs, learning every day, and traveling the world. I'll be teaching, hiking, helping, farming, writing, and singing. I want to contribute to the advancement of humanity, not technologically, but more in our understanding of ourselves and our relationship with the world that we live in and the universe that we're a part of. I reject the life that our culture encourages because it doesn't suit me. I don't want a steady house, a husband, and kids. I want adventures and big conversations and hard work. I don't want to waste any of my life doing things that I don't care about or trying to please people who I don't respect. I want to fill my life with deeply moving experiences and to better understand the human condition. There's something so special in human relationships, a part of each of us, that cannot be complete without the understanding of others. And there's another part of us that empties when we ignore the natural world. These bonds are so strong, pulling everything together in the web of life that we respect as one of our church's principles. I'm so lucky to have grown up in this church, a place where I was never told what to believe, but every Sunday I was reminded of the importance of connecting with the bigger picture. I think there's something wrong with telling children what to believe without allowing them to understand what it means first. I hope that more children get the opportunity to explore their faith as I have and as I will continue throughout my life. It's important to me to live intentionally, And I believe that this brings a very spiritual element to one's life because you're thinking about every action you take. It's a way to stay grounded, but still be able to see the big picture, what truly matters to me, and how what I do now affects that goal or vision that I have on a bigger scale. So I do believe in God. The special moments of life, the magnificence of mountains, the giant steps of an elephant, the tiny wings of a hummingbird, the vast space surrounding our planet, it's incredible. And that mysterious force which drives life and exists in the relationships we share with everything we know is too big to be nothing. And that awesome bigness and delicate smallness and uncontainable wonder, which exists so boldly in everyone's lives, is God for me. I hope to imitate that grandness that I see in the world in my own life and become a person who belongs in the surroundings of life's incredible creations and who doesn't stand separate in a dark suit in a concrete building. And maybe I'm crazy not to want lots of money and houses and power, but if that's what makes a person successful, I think I'll pass. I think I'll be crazy. And after that, and after I've lived my wild life, when the laugh wrinkles in my face are fully entrenched and my body is sore and beat up after years of adventures, I want to feel like I really did all I could do. And I'm not afraid to die. Of course, I would prefer not to right now, but to me, death has always been a comfort. To think that even the worst things I could go through in life are still better than being dead helps to make the bad things not so bad and to make the good things be incredible. And I think that when I die, my individual existence will end, but my universal existence will blossom, and the particles of my body and spirit will dance in the universe like the stars in the sky and the sparkling dew on the grass. I can't imagine a more beautiful way to exit human existence than that. But luckily, I'm still alive, and really just beginning an amazing life ahead of me. I'm so blessed to have this church community, and my spirituality has grown immensely here. The friends I have made here are people I really respect and enjoy, and the lessons I have learned help me every day. I would like to thank my parents for everything they've done to bring me where I am today and for giving me this church community. I would like to thank my mentor, Tracy Tim, for our special conversations and fun times together. I really love getting to know you better, and I feel lucky to have begun this special relationship with you. And thank you to all of LCUUC. This church will always be a home for me. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you very much. It was amazing, and quite an example for all of us. Maybe we should all be writing a faith statement. But thank you. I feel like I've gotten to know you better. So we're going to have some special music now. If you guys want to keep your order of service handy, there's some words in there you'll be sharing with us.
Thank you.
We'd like to take just a moment now to recognize the seniors and their mentors. So if you guys could come up as your name is called, Mona Cicero and Kim Sewer. Isabel Fitzpatrick, and like she said, Greg is in Utah, really. Sorry to miss the service. Paul Tim and Chris Pesky. Ellen Tyler and Tracy Tim. Logan Wickman and Paul Fackler. I want to thank the mentors for your involvement this year. I'm sure you've learned as much from the seniors as they've learned from you. So thank you very much. And our minister has a few words.
Seniors, as you prepare to go out into the world, I would say this. Every Sunday we light a chalice, and that is the fire of knowledge and of commitment, the fire of covenant, the fire which represents the spirit of life. As you go out from this place, you carry that fire with you. You are our living chalices. You are our candles in the world, our blazing light. I ask you now to hear the words of Kathy Coley, who said, "There is a candle in every soul. Some burn brightly, some are dark and cold, and there is a spirit that brings fire and ignites the candles and makes a home there. Carry your candles. Run into the darkness. Seek out the hopeless, the confused, the torn. Hold your candles out for everyone to see. Take your candles. Go from here and light your world. Amen."
So those are actually perfect words for the gift we're going to give the seniors. You might guess we have our LCUC logo on the chalice, the little light of mine. All right. Keep shining. Let's give them a big round of applause.
I just want to add just a word of thanks to Lynn for coordinating this program every year. I'm sure the seniors join me in keeping them on task this year and helping them to offer us this wonderful service of coordinating for us. Thank you. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Our closing words today are Shel Silverstein's The Bridge. The bridge will only take you halfway there, to those mysterious lands you long to see, through gypsy camps and swirling Arab fairs, and moonlight woods where unicorns run free. So come and walk a while with me and share the twisting trails and wondrous whirls I've known. But this bridge will only take you halfway there, the last steps you'll have to take on your own.
song I'm going to play is called Wherever You Will Go, and it's a really beautiful song about how special it is that you can have a relationship with someone else that you would just want to be with them all the time, and how we share that with a lot of people in our lives. So lately, been wondering who will be there to take my place when I'm gone. You'll need love to light the shadows on your face. If a grave wave shall fall, it'll fall upon us all. And between the sand and stone, could you make it on your own? If I could, then I would. I'll go wherever you will go, way up high or down low. I'll go wherever you will go, and maybe we'll work out a way to make it back someday. To want you, to guide you through the darkest of your days. Shall fall, it'll fall upon us all. Well, then I hope that there's someone out there who can bring me back to you. If I could, then I would. I'll go wherever you will go, way up high or down low. I'll go wherever you will go. Run away with my heart, run away with my mind, run away with my love. I know now just quite how my life and love might still go on. In your heart, in your mind, I'll stay with you for all of time. If I could, then I would. I'll go wherever you will go, way up high or down low. I'll go wherever you will go. If I could make you mine, I'll go wherever you will go. If I could turn back time, I'll go wherever you will go.
Ending to the service.